You're with David Curtin on today's News Talk TNT.
Hello and welcome to the David Curtin Show here on today's News Talk. It's Monday morning today, but if you're watching live, that's fantastic. If you're watching on catch up, whether it's Monday or later on the week, you are welcome, very welcome to be here on the show with me today. And I've got a great show for you today. Three guests talking about various things that are happening around the country, around the world. There's so much going on. Stan Robinson from Voice of Wales will be here to talk about goings on in Wales, done through the Welsh government, which are not very good. A mini pride event for young children is being pushed. You know what I think about all of these things and protecting children from these LGBT activists in government. So he's going to be here to talk about what's happening there in Swansea, among other things going on in Wales. We have Gareth Icke joining us on the show to talk about the Eurovision Song Contest. What's going on there with all these degenerate acts? And also the bizarre thing of lots of people supporting Israel who normally wouldn't say anything about Israel at all. We're going to discuss that and get down to the nitty-gritty of what's going on there. And we also have Robert Alds from the Bruges Group. The Bruges Group, of course, was one of the main think tanks that fought to leave the European Union behind the scenes with lots and lots of other people. Now Gibraltar's sovereignty is under threat, and we're going to talk about that, amongst other things, about whether Brexit in general has been sabotaged. So all that coming up on the show. If you want to join the conversation, you're welcome to do so right in to TNT, or you can call us from the UK, the USA and Australia, anywhere in the world. And if you want to, the numbers to call are right here.
Thanks for listening to us. Now we want to listen to you. Our lines are open from the U.S. and Canada. Call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Now, I've earned a new badge of honor. Yeah, I have been singled out along with Elon Musk, no less, to be made an example of in a policy document that was commissioned by the leader of the House of Commons, no less, Penny Mordaunt. And this is a document called Conspiracy Theories, a Guide for Members of Parliament and Candidates. And it was written by something I've never heard before, an NGO supposedly called the Anti-Semitism Policy Trust. Now, I read through this, and it's a complete joke, to be honest. I mean, it just makes me laugh. But it is quite serious, because they are putting out this document to all MPs and candidates to warn them to stay away from anybody who says anything that they think is a conspiracy theory. What is a conspiracy theory? I mean, in my view, it's something that is true that the government doesn't want you to know about, let alone think about, or even less speak about and have conversations about to other people, or put on social media so that you destroy their narratives, which are there to deceive you from knowing the truth and getting the country more into debt, more into the insanity of wokery and climate alarmism and anything else that they want going. But there we go. That's what a conspiracy theory really is. But what they say in the document is, conspiracy theories often claim that governments and official institutions manipulate events on behalf of an evil group of conspirators. Well, that's actually true, isn't it? Whether it's Big Pharma or the WEF, the globalists, they're always manipulating events and they're not acting in the best interest of ordinary people. So this is true, but they want you to believe, or they want the MPs to believe, that conspiracy theorists are making this all up, or who the people that are speaking the truth that they label as conspiracy theorists in order to try to discredit people who are speaking the truth. and using their freedom of speech in a good way. It also says that they erode trust in democratic institutions, including financial institutions, the justice system, healthcare providers, the NHS, I mean, look at the state of that, and governments at every level, media outlets, undermining the most basic foundations of democratic rule. And it also means that people are less likely to comply with the laws and policies set by their governments. Well, sorry, you're damn right. If you impose lockdowns, if you impose tyranny, if you impose restrictions on freedom of speech, I am not going to obey those restrictions. I mean, yes, I will follow the laws as far as they make life good for people and prosperous for people and are in line with our common law, which is everything is permitted as long as it does not cause harm, loss, or damage to another living man or woman. But if you impose laws that are going to harm people and are going to get us into war, at the moment you've got this insane drive to get us into war with Russia, I'm not going to stay silent while you take us into destruction at every level. Sorry, I'm not going to do that. I'm not sorry, actually. I'm going to oppose this tyranny and I'm going to oppose this warmongering and all the junk that's coming from these people in the House of Commons that they say that we shouldn't be speaking about. There you go. Now, diagram one in this booklet, and we might have a slide for this, shows all the different conspiracy theories that have their own section in this pamphlet. And they mention QAnon, 15-minute cities, the New World Order, Ukraine. Well, that's not a conspiracy theory, that's actually happening. The Great Replacement, that's happening. Mass migration, climate lockdowns, global control, 5G, the Great Reset. There's even a book written about the Great Reset by Klaus Schwab. It's there for everyone to see. It's not a conspiracy theory. They've told you exactly what they want to do and exactly what their plans are. Chemtrails, COVID-19. Well, again, COVID-19, you know, whether it existed or not, I don't know, because the flu disappeared when COVID-19 came up in 2020 and then COVID-19 disappeared again. So, you know, you make your own mind up about that. But certainly the injections that came after that have caused all kinds of adverse health events and made excess deaths go above the baseline for a long sustained period of time. That's not a conspiracy theory. That is a scientific measured observed fact. And for them to try and smear people who talk about that is absolutely deplorable. Now, that is the headline. But all of these things are in a circle around a central conspiracy theory, which is in a different color. And that says anti-Semitism. So apparently, according to this document, it's applying that you speak about any of these other things, COVID-19, Ukraine, the Great Replacement, etc., the Great Reset, then now those are all anti-Semitic. And, you know, that this is so nonsensical, it's just laughable. But this is how these people actually think. Now, what they wrote specifically about me, I'm just going to talk about this for a little bit because it's just hilarious. It says of me, now, it talks about a tweet that I put out in 2022, and it was just a fun question. It says, who do you trust more, Putin or Biden, Johnson, and Macron? 90% said Putin, fewer than 10% said Biden, Johnson, and Macron. But this was singled out as an example of misinformation in this document. It says one former candidate for UKIP. Okay, I was in the time. They don't even mention that for the last 4 years, I've been the leader of the Heritage Party. So, you know, they're trying to make sure people don't hear about what I'm doing now. To take an example, it says, was increasingly drawn into anti-lockdown and anti-vax campaigning since 2020. 3 days after the invasion of Ukraine began, this individual, not my name, this individual, they can't even say my name, warned their followers that the mainstream media and WEF, NWO controlled regimes cannot be trusted to tell the truth about Ukraine. Yes, absolutely right. You can't trust the government and the mainstream media. They posted a poll on Twitter. I'm he. these people bang on about pronouns all the time, but they can't even get my own pronoun right. He. I'm not they. I'm not a non-binary pansexual androgyne, like probably some of you are. But there you go. That's just a little gripe there. They posted a poll on Twitter 2 weeks earlier that showed that 90% of respondents, likely drawn from their own followers, trusted Vladimir Putin over a trio of pro-Ukraine Western leaders. So you can read the report. It's hilarious. But what it does show is that these people are really worried because there are so many people whose eyes are now opened to the truth and the misinformation and disinformation that is not being spread by people who they label and smear as conspiracy theorists, but is being spread by the governments of the collective West and the mainstream media. And they are the ones that need to be held to account. And they are the ones that need to be challenged, not us. So let's mock this report unashamedly and keep on speaking the truth. This is today's News Talk, TNT.
Bringing you a world view.
I like to hear what's going on around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Gemma Cooper, our TNT news correspondent, is here with me today. Gemma, I'm sorry, I've taken up half your time, but that report was so entertaining. I just had to mention it because I saw it the weekend. But anyway, Gemma, welcome to the show. What's going on in the UK news headlines today?
Well, just before we get to that, there's really one headline today. It seems to be China, but I didn't realise you were in that report. I cast a comical eye over that myself last week, just a little bit, and thought, oh, goodness me, you know, and how can they say any of it is a theory, fact, you know, proven? I mean, unfortunately, for all the wrong reasons, but I didn't realise that you were in it. So look at that as a badge of honour, I would say. Well done.
Absolutely.
Well done for getting
Thank
in
you.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Very well done. But onto the headlines today. It's really, I think, a lot of manufactured headlines, possibly from the mainstream, about China. Rishi Sunak is about to give his pre-election speech. One of the things he's going to focus on in that speech is the threats posed by China, Russia and Iran, amongst other things. But interestingly, on that very day that he's going to do that, three men have been charged and are appearing at Westminster Magistrates in London very shortly, charged under the National Security Act for aiding and abetting the Hong Kong intelligence services, helping China effectively. And another story about China, which has just come out, is that Chinese students, Hong Kong and Chinese students studying around the world, including the UK, say they are being spied on and reported back to their parents, who are being threatened with losing their jobs or being put in prison in some cases. When they protest against the Chinese regime away from home. One student, for example, who was attending a commemoration of the Tiananmen Square protest many years ago, she was attending a commemoration. She was photographed. Her dad was phoned. He phoned her up hours later. She hadn't even told him she was going. Amnesty International today, just in the last few hours, has released this 63-page report looking at Chinese students around the world. And they say that they are being spied on, photographed, secretly recorded, and then put on Chinese social media sites and shamed at home and are receiving death threats. So a lot about China in the headlines today, which seems to me rather engineered. And I wonder where this might be heading. It looks like China could be the next COVID, you know, this nebulous threat from the other side of the world. And don't forget, of course, that's where the so-called virus was supposed to have come from. So there's something fishy going on with China at the moment in our headlines. And I wonder if you've noticed it too, David.
Well, you know, the question to ask there is, I wonder what's happening around the world and whether you've got similar headlines appearing, not just in the UK, but also in the USA, Australia, Canada, and so on. Because if there's a narrative that has been spun by globalists above the level of government, above the level of national media, you see media corporations and governments acting in lockstep together to create a narrative. So I wonder if, you know, I look at the headlines from other countries around the world later on today, I'll see the same thing. But, you know, with China, I mean, we've got to be very, very wise with China, because I'm no fan of the Chinese Communist Party. They do spy on people. They do try to get influence over members of parliament. And, you know, if you're a Chinese student in this country and you have an opinion that's different to the Chinese government, I mean, I have no idea what life is like for them, because all the correspondence happens in Chinese. But we also have to be very, very careful not to get into a military conflict with China. You know, and this is what the narrative is coming from. I've seen the speech that Rishi Sunak is supposedly going to give. I guess it's all been written out before. But he's talking about this axis of authoritarian states, including Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. So they're certainly spinning the idea that there's a new axis of evil. We're the good guys, they're the bad guys, and we have to resist and build up our military in order to perhaps fight a war in the future, which is completely insane, to be honest. There you go. We just got a minute left or so, but Gemma, what do you think of all that?
I think there's definitely a narrative being created. Absolutely. I've been seeing more and more about China. We saw that hacking story last week where the defense secretary stood up in the House of Commons with a pre-planned statement about China allegedly hacking into the data, payroll data of thousands of Ministry of Defense employees. Now, any other company would have kept that secret. That's very embarrassing. That's effectively admitting that if you work for the government, that your data's not safe. But no, they stood up in Parliament and made a big deal about that. And I thought, hang on a minute, that doesn't sit right journalistically at all. There were a lot of questions around that story that the mainstream didn't ask. And now suddenly, you know, that we've got this axis of evil, authoritarian states. We've got, you know, China's really awful. It spies on its students, which may be true in part, but it's being woven into a narrative. And I'm slightly suspicious that the last 4 years was a very obvious attempt to control behavior, unite us globally in the force of some enemy. And you are quite right, actually. I should take a wider view on this and see if it's a headline that people are seeing in the US, in Australia, of China being the enemy, spying on its students abroad. Interestingly, Amnesty International looked at students from the UK, the US, Australia, and European countries. So this is anecdotal from across the world. It's not just UK universities. So could well be that we do see similar headlines. And this global threat narrative is once again spun up. It's just a different C word. It's not COVID, it's China.
Right. Well, we shall see how the story develops and if we see similar things in other countries. There we go. Gemma, thank you so much for joining me today, talking about the UK's news headlines on today's News Talk TMT.
The Light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. TheLightPaper.co.uk.
It's time to switch on
today's News Talk Radio.
Very entertaining.
Yeah! TNT.
Welcome back. Now, in Wales, the Welsh government is dreadful, as we know, but it seems to have reached new heights of tyranny and degeneracy in the last week or two, with plans to spy on people's gardens to see if they can get them to pay more council tax, and also the implementation of a new mini pride for toddlers with being in conjunction with the pride for adults, which goes on in pride season, which we're coming up to. Well, to discuss these things and these latest developments in Wales, we have on the line Stan Robinson of Voice of Wales. Really good to have you with me on the show today, Stan.
Hello, David. Nice to see you again. Long time. We haven't spoke for a while.
I know it's been a while, but you know, you've been busy in Wales, obviously, and you do great work.
Yeah.
You know, and all traveling around the country talking about all of these things. I do see you pop up every now and again. But yeah, good to see you because it's been a while. And we met outside the Senedd when Public Child Protection Wales were protesting against this, you know, the sexuality education, comprehensive sexuality education being implemented in schools in Wales. Well, one of these things here seems to be this new mini pride. So what's going on with this? What's all that about?
So welcome to the People's Socialist Banana Republic of Wales, David. The issue are manifold. Of course, you quite rightly say about CPC Wales. And at the time, they lost a court case because they couldn't prove that Stonewall was, how can I put it, manipulating the education system.
Right.
Hence, 2 years later, and now you've got pride, mini pride, and it's not just, well, you're quite right, you say season. It starts in February and ends in late January in Wales. It's right. It's all the time at you. The latest of this is on Saturday, where we've got Swansea Pride, and you've got police cars. All, you know, wait, they've asked for extra money for policing this year, and they spend money wrapping cars with LGBTQ alphabet spaghetti artwork. And also then on the Sunday, you've got a toddler's pride, which is absolutely wicked, evil and abhorrent.
I can't believe it. Toddler's pride. I mean, surely there's an uproar about this.
Well, the issue is, David, that Councillor King, who's the director of these events, and he runs the Waterfront Museum where it's going to be held. His partner, who's an adult entertainer, who he's married to, also runs another gallery. So between them, it's continual. LGBT trolling, almost. It's indoctrination of children.
Well, this is what we call the long march through the institutions, isn't it? Because you got people who want to promote this LGBT agenda. They've got into positions of power. They've opened businesses. They're working together. And now they're imposing it on children. I think it's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, I looked at this website of the National Waterfront Museum in Swansea. What it says, family fun family program to celebrate being happy, proud, and whoever you want to be. So they're promoting it as something that is family fun, but it's far from that, isn't it?
Absolutely right. The a family is a nuclear family. It's a father, a male, and a woman, a female, and you know, the nuclear family is two children, isn't it? By definition. This is not. This is promoting something that's abnormal and trying to make it normal. You know, it's like trying to tell a donkey that he's a racehorse when he's not, yes. You know. And no matter how much indoctrination they're going to push on this, then the kickback will occur. And in fact, yeah. I understand from locally that there are going to be demonstrations.
Oh, good. Well, I hope they're successful. And I really hope the parents have got more sense than to take their children there. But that's not the only thing that's going on in Wales. I mean, we've also got stories that the government is going to start spying from the sky on people's houses. I mean, what's all that about?
Well, you've read the book 1984. We live it in Wales. It is absolutely Orwellian to suggest that, first of all, the Welsh government have created ghettos. You only have to go down into Cardiff and you'll actually be told by the police, do not go in this area at night. So they've created ghettos in Wrexham, Swansea, Cardiff, Bridgend's going the same way, the big towns, Carmarthen's going the same way, Llanelli's going the same way, and now the places that that they can't make ghettos, i.e. the countryside, they're now going to tax, and they're going to tax on crime as well. So if you're in a low crime area, and you might have an active neighbourhood watch scheme, or in fact a decent community, which we used to have. I pass a little village every day coming to work, and nearly on a monthly basis they do something in that community. So there was Easter egg things, and then it was Remembrance Day and Christmas and Halloween, and they do something throughout the year. But that's a low crime area because you've got a knitted community. And now they're suggesting if you live in one of those, we're going to tax you.
Well, how on earth can they do that? I mean, you know, the people already pay their council tax, don't they? Are they going to put an extra charge on the council tax because you live in a safe area? Is that the idea?
That is the idea. Or if you have, like Mr. Drakeford has, he has, what was it? It wasn't called a second residence. It was called something else. Forgive me, my mind's gone. But it's a summer residence. And of course, they make the rules up, and it fell just beneath that rule, didn't it? It's all right for them, but not for us, David.
Wow. I mean, this just sounds like another attempt to destroy communities and to destroy the life that people have. Like, wherever anyone can find sanctuary away from the madness, they can't leave you alone. And they're not happy to just destroy the areas that they're in, which is bad enough. They want to destroy life for everybody. They can't leave a single person alone. And, you know, I mean, these people have got to go. And I really hope in the general election, people have got the sense to get rid of Tory, Labour, Lib Dem, Green, who are all destroying our nation together. That's all I can say. Anyway, Stan, yes, last word to you,
yeah,
Stan.
You're absolutely right, David. People have got to vote for alternative parties, whether it's yourself or whether it's UKIP. They've got to go for independence if they can.
Yeah, well, I know you're standing for UKIP. I used to be in UKIP back in Brexit days.
I know.
Obviously, I'm in the Heritage Party now, so we'll be standing candidates around the country. So very interesting as well. Yeah, I think with UKIP is going to have a leadership contest result announcement tonight. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch out for.
I was hoping anyway, you were going to throw your name in, David.
No, I've left a long time ago. It's been 4 years ago, so I've moved on. Obviously, you know, I'm with the lead the Heritage Party now. But anyway, always good to talk to you, Stan, and thank you so much for joining me on the show today here on Today's News Talk TNT.
And here's the news. Extra. TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with your TNT headlines. Russia's launched a new large-scale offensive on a new front in Ukraine's northeast, seizing five villages in the Kharkov region. As the death toll in Gaza tops 35,000, hawkish US Senator Lindsey Graham is now suggesting nuking the war-torn territory. And the UN General Assembly has voted overwhelmingly in favour of granting Palestine full membership status, but Israel's staunchest ally, the US, is expected to block the move.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk. This is TNT Radio.
The Eurovision Song Contest happened at the weekend, and apparently some non-binary person from Switzerland won. I'm not quite sure whether that was a man or a woman, so I don't know. So, and non-binary seems to be some kind of mental illness seems to stop you from knowing what gender or what sex you are. But there we go. That was the person that won. But there's been a lot of talk about this because there's been a lot of controversy about the Eurovision Song Contest this year. The Israel Act didn't win, but a lot of people on what I would call the fake alternative right supported the Israeli Act, who was called Eden Golan. That's it. Strange name there. She came in sixth, fifth, I think, just ahead of the Satanic Irish Act, who was dressed up as some witch, apparently is with a transgender flag as well. I don't know whether she is a woman or a man, I don't know, but I think she's a woman, but she's doing all kinds of degenerate things in the performance there. I think there was a performance with a pentagram as well. Never seen that before in Eurovision, but it just shows that this has become a parade of everything that is wrong in the world. The one person that could have won, that actually was a nice family fun act, was from the Netherlands. This guy called Juiced, I can't remember his last name. I saw his act and it was just a tribute to his father. The organizers probably didn't like the word father in his song, but he was disqualified the night before. Anyway, to talk about the Eurovision Song Contest and what it's doing and the degeneracy that we've got from this, I'm delighted to have with me on the show today, Gareth Ike. Gareth, welcome to the show.
How you doing, David? You okay, mate?
I'm doing really well. Good to see you. Yeah. You watched this Eurovision, didn't you? We're all talking about this Eurovision Song Contest, which when I was young, it used to be a lovely family fun thing. I mean, it was a bit kitschy. It was a bit, you know, cringy, whatever, in some respects, but it was nice to watch. But what is going on now? It's just getting worse and worse and worse every year. What do you make of it?
Well, it's the gradual normalization, isn't it? I think that's the whole point of it. Rather than sort of coming out and going from what it used to be to what it is now very quickly, where people will notice it and go, goodness me, hasn't that changed? They've done it incrementally year on year. It's kind of like you said, it was always sort of a bit of a family thing, you know, quite fun, quite camp in its kind of in its way, and now it's just kind of got more and more dark, I think, in terms of some of the depictions and the satanic symbolism and stuff. And I think you can apply that to most things. You know, you watch, say, a Madonna music video from the 1980s, and then you watch one from now, it's not the same thing. There is this normalization of this kind of quite satanic imagery. And I don't think that's by accident, David, because I don't think anything's by accident. And so by doing it gradually, each generation then kind of finds it less weird. So kind of dinosaurs like me and you will look at it and think, God, isn't that strange that it's quite dark? Whereas someone who's say 12, 13, who's watching it is, well, that's normal, isn't it? That's what music videos are like. That's how everything is. And then you go on another generation, and suddenly, you know, drinking blood on stage at Madison Square Garden is that's normal. That's part of a rock and roll show, you know?
It's unbelievable to me, isn't it? Because I haven't watched Eurovision for quite a while. I mean, the last time I actually sat down and watched it all the way from start to finish was about 15 years ago. And, you know, I looked at it now because, a lot of people are talking about it because there are these new controversies. But you're absolutely right, isn't it? They're normalizing things that just shouldn't be normalized, that would be on the pale, you know, even 15 years ago, let alone 30 years ago. But
exactly. Exactly. I mean, I'm the same as you, David. I don't watch it, mate. I have no interest in television, period, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I was the same. I saw people sort of talking about it and I thought, okay, I'll go in and watch some of this stuff. And I wasn't shocked, David. And I think that's probably the weirdest part of it, that it's so normal now that you expect to see this kind of imagery that actually, yeah, that's just how it is. And that's not a good thing for that to be normalized, even in my own mind. You know, when it was a bit kitsch and a bit camp and all that kind of stuff, you know, people were annoyed then, and you could argue back at that of like, oh, come on, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it is what it is. And you could explain away that sort of promotion of LGBT stuff as kind of, well, you know, at the end of the day, it's about acceptance. It's about having everyone together, you know, why should we exclude? And, you know, there's a conversation about that. That's fine. But I think you'd be hard pushed to find someone to explain away the satanic side of it. Okay. So promoting inclusion to kids and saying, look, love is love. Okay. That's a different conversation, but pushing the satanic stuff, like I say, find a way to explain that to me, why kids need to be exposed to that sort of nonsense.
And is it, you know, maybe we were already conditioned, you know, I mean, I was in the 80s, 90s and so on. You mentioned there was this LGBT stuff before it was even called that a lot. I mean, I didn't even realize, you know, I was just like, oh, there's lots of people in colors and it's a little bit, you know, a little bit clowny, whatever. But I didn't even, you know, think there was anything too much wrong with it. Whereas people who maybe have, you know, grown up in the 50s or 40s or 60s would have thought, well, what's happening in the 80s is already gone, you know, to a level that they didn't experience. So that would have been shocking for them. And now this, what's happening now, is doubly shocking because you got this whole new dimension, you know, moved away from sort of the traditional family values. And now we're moving into something that's openly evil. And that's being promoted, which is absolutely shocking. But the other thing that's very bizarre is this huge support for Israel and the Israel candidate musician. I mean, she seems like a nice woman, you know. But a lot of people were, you know, from the what I call the fake alternative right. Lawrence Fox, Daniel Grimes, Toby Young, all saying, I'm going to vote for Israel, vote for Israel. I've given 20 votes to Israel. Really trying to get people to support this Israeli act, not because she was a good musician, but because of what's going on in the Middle East. And I just found that so bizarre. Why are all these people who are normally patriots for Britain suddenly supporting Israel? I mean, what do you think is going on there?
Well, I mean, I think a few people were probably activated, to be honest, post October 7th, that they were always kind of sitting there as an Israeli shill. But for me, David, like, it just shows just how far we've dropped post COVID. You know, when everyone came together, we could see what was happening and people from all different sides aligned to fight tyranny, right? And that was that was, whilst it was a dark time, it was a special time for me. I remember looking at it thinking, do you know what? We've got some unity here. And it just, you know, October 7th, just, we spoke about it before, where it kind of just totally polarized. And so now we've got to a point where you've got freedom fighters and advocates against the state and all this kind of stuff are now urging people to spend their hard-earned money to vote in the Eurovision Song Contest, which we all know is blatantly rigged anyway. It always has been. You know, the Czech Republic gives 10 out of 10 to Slovakia, and Slovakia gives 10 out of 10 to the Czech Republic. If they put an ostrich on stage singing, they'd get 10, because it's that political nonsense going on. And so us in the alternative, we used to know that. And we used to look at things like Eurovision and the blatantly rigged side of it and the political nonsense of it and point it out, because that's our job, is to hold perceived authority and perceived mainstream to account, essentially. And we've gone from that to please get on and vote and use your hard-earned money to vote in something that's blatantly rigged. And the only reason they're doing it is to try and annoy, I said this on Twitter, is to try and annoy someone with purple hair. That's the whole reason they've done it. It's this tribalism, and
it's all these people all these people, like, they portrayed themselves for years as being anti-woke, but now suddenly they're supporting the wokery of the Eurovision Song Contest, but they're actually portraying support for Israel and support for Zionism as being anti-woke because the Palestinian cause is woke, not mentioning anything or giving any consideration to the ongoing genocide that's there, which is, you know, what I'm concerned about. And it's really bizarre for me, because I'm on the right, no question. I mean, I'm very comfortable with, you know, being on the right, the hard right, and people saying that of me. But the other people, the majority of people that are on the right that I've agreed with on Brexit, maybe on freedom, you know, and many other things, on immigration, are now suddenly completely in a different place to me on this genocide issue. They're supporting it, essentially, and I just find that very disturbing.
It was quite hard, I've got to say. You know, a month or two after October, you know, when you were coming into December, when the numbers were just getting insane in terms of deaths. And I was looking at people that I used to admire And would go to protests with and hang out with. Mm. And I'm looking at their social medias and I'm looking at what they're saying in interviews. And I'm thinking, dude, you're insane. Like, that's an insane way of looking at it. Because again, it comes back to that tribal thing. It's like, I can overlook genocide because it's not my side carrying it out. And actually those people that are protesting against genocide, they're generally pro-mask, pro-jab, pro-LGBT mafia nonsense. So I disagree with them. So I have to disagree with them on this, which means I'm pro-genocide. Now, if disagreeing with someone makes you pro-genocide, that you need to have a look in the mirror, mate. And this is the thing, you know, you're urging people to go and spend money to vote on Eurovision, like it's a game of football.
Yes.
Vote for this team. They can win the cup. It's like, dude, kids are dying, mate. Thousands, tens of thousands of kids are dying. You going on social media telling people to vote so you can annoy someone with purple hair that you disagree with about other stuff is irrelevant, mate. It's irrelevant. And we, as an alternative, we used to prioritize what was right. And what is right is fighting against the murder of innocent people. That's the right side to be on, irrespective of what football team you support. It doesn't matter. I'm a Derby County fan. If Derby County are killing kids in Gaza, I'm against Derby County. And this is the thing that people, it's a game of football to people, David. And it honestly, mate, it winds me up. I don't understand how you can be pro freedom, how you can be stop jabbing the kids because it will harm kids, to all of a sudden being like, well, I don't care if kids are getting blown up. My side wins. Vote. Try.
Yeah. Man. That's the tribalism that, you know, you speak about. And it's, we've got to be better than that, and more, you know, more of a critical thinker than that, more intelligent than that, to just, you know, be swept up with our emotions and, you know, just say, I support this because this is my side and my side supports this. Well, if my side starts doing something that's wrong, I'm going to say, no, I don't agree with that. But, you know, in a way, I've got loads of kickback, and I guess you have as well.
Oh, tons of it, mate.
Yeah, for not
tons of it. But what's mad though, David? And this thing, I keep saying, Israel is the end of level boss. It is. It's Dr. Robotnik from Sonic the Hedgehog. It's people can't get beyond it. Because these people that won't call out Israel, they'll call out their own country. If Great Britain went in and bombed Serbia again, like we did in 99, they would be the first to call it out. And if America goes in and bombs the hell out of Iraq, like they did in the Second Gulf War, they would be the first to call it out. But they won't call out Israel. It makes no sense to me. So you'll call out your own nation. You'll call out literally your own football team. But you won't call out this football team that you've kind of adopted because you think it will annoy people with purple hair. It's extraordinary.
Yeah. What I also find disturbing is that, you know, this has now spilled over onto the streets of our cities, particularly in London, with big anti-genocide protests. And, you know, I don't go on them, but I have much sympathy for them. But they are being smeared as hate marches and pro-terrorist marches by all of these people who previously said they were for freedom of speech. But now they're agitating against freedom of speech. And what they don't realize is, if you are using this, you're being, you know, cajoled or directed subconsciously somehow into making restrictions on free speech. If there are restrictions brought in against these pro-Palestine anti-genocide marches, they're going to be used on all of these people who are agitating for those restrictions if there's any kind of lockdown comes back in the future. Exactly. So they're actually agitating for the removal of their own freedoms, ultimately. And they don't seem to realize this.
No, I think some will realize it, mate. I think some will realize it, because I think they're doing it on purpose. And I think, you know, let's check a little brown envelope in the back pocket for some of them. But some of them are also not very bright. I think that's, you know, without sounding harsh, that's also part of it. And what I find hilarious, really, and not like funny hilarious, but like crazy hilarious, is like the talking points that these people are using now, like hate marches, jihad marches, anti-Semitic, you know, whatever the talking point that's being created by the mainstream media. They've adopted that now. But what they don't realize is, actually, 3 years ago, that mainstream media narrative was granny killers, far-right fascists, anti-vaxxers. And they were literally being pelted with these narratives. And they were going, oh, for goodness sake, we're fighting for freedom. If And they said exactly what you've just said there. At the end of the day, if you bring restrictions against us, you might support it now because you're pro-jab and pro-mask, but they'll use it against you.
Mm.
You come forward 3 years and they've got you over a barrel doing the same thing to these people as people were doing to you. Cognitive dissonance, mate. It's everywhere. Honestly, it's a disease.
So much. It really is. And I don't know how on earth people can fall into it, because they've said for years consistently, you know, we will support all free speech, no matter whether it's offensive or not. Everyone should have the right to speak, even if it's we can be as offensive as we like about what we want. But then suddenly someone comes along and they don't like it. And then they're basically holding up a mirror to the cultural Marxists of the left, if you like. I call this right-wing cultural Marxism, because they're basically saying we want to stop these people from being able to speak because we feel offended and we feel that we're victims. It really is just the most bizarre mindset that they've got into. There we go.
If freedom of speech doesn't apply to everyone, it doesn't exist. Mm. Because otherwise, it's freedom to speak within parameters that are created by someone else. Well, that's not freedom of speech. And at the end of the day, in terms of being offensive, there'll be people listening to me and you having this conversation and they'll be offended about it, and they're free to be. Good luck to them. Offense is taken, not given. And it doesn't matter what you say, it will offend someone. And you should be allowed to have the ability to be offended. This is the thing. People say, oh, I'm offended by that. So what? Like, genuinely, so what?
Right, absolutely.
No one dies because you're offended. But what we're protesting against is people dying. So actually, you're being offended doesn't trump dead children. I'm sorry. I know you feel like you're important, but it doesn't trump that, I'm afraid.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is the whole thing in the Middle East. It's so hard to get to the bottom of, because, you know, it didn't just start on the 7th of October. No. I mean, this just didn't come out of nowhere. This is an area that's been troubled for 75 years and even before that. So really, you know, it's exactly. you've got to look at everything in the round there. And you can't sort of come to some, you know, just simple statement that says this side is good and that side's bad, and this side can do whatever it wants, and that side just has to sit back and take it and be killed or emigrate. I mean, really,
get out or die. That's it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as well, I think a lot of the people that are very rabidly supporting Israel don't like Muslims. They don't like the mass immigration from Muslim nations, and therefore they're pretty fine supporting Israel because Israel's fighting the Muslims in their mind.
Yeah.
Take into account the fact that there's Christians in Palestine or any of that, you know, whatever. So that's the place that they're coming from. But it's like, okay, but you don't realize that a lot of the wars on behalf of Israel, by the way, in the Middle East led to that mass immigration that you've now got the ump with. So you're actually supporting one of the main forces that started it. And I'd also have a little look into the NGOs and who supports and funds those NGOs that facilitate the mass immigration into the United States and into the UK. Because, you know, you might find that it connects back to a country that you're now supporting. But people don't look that far into it, because they daren't, because it's the under-level boss.
I know. That's it. Well, let's hope that more people can see sense on this. And I'm really, really glad to still have friends like you, Gareth, who can see through this and are still on the right side and are speaking up for human rights and freedom for everybody. Like, Gareth, it's been really great to talk to you and to have you on the show. Thanks. Yeah, good to see you. Thanks for joining me. We're just going to have a quick break now. This is today's News Talk, TNT.
From weather and traffic reports
to news of political developments,
we turn to journalists for the information we need to live our daily lives.
Journalists around the world provide news that is essential for democracy,
for personal freedom, and for safety and stability.
Yet their ability to report freely and safely is under attack like never before.
So many journalists are paying with their lives.
They face exponential risks, and they've already paid a heavy toll.
Death threats, online harassment, and physical attacks
are becoming a daily experience of journalists in all countries.
Absolutely.
We just want people to be safe, to be able to get our readers the information that they need to make informed decisions.
They checked my phone and realized that it was Pegasus. I feel myself like I'm naked at the street.
These charges were politicized from the start.
Facts win. Truth wins. Justice wins.
C'est énorme pour moi d'être là, d'être libre. Surtout que je ne m'y attendais pas du tout.
Stand with the free press.
Stand with journalists whose reporting won't be silenced. Press freedom is your freedom.
Need a ride?
Yeah!
Driving with kids is a big responsibility.
Hop in and buckle up!
So don't sweat the small stuff.
You got paint all over our paper!
Get the big stuff right instead.
What does that mean?
Like making sure your kids are in the correct car seat and buckled up for safer travel.
That deserves a wiggly wiggly wig.
To make sure your child is in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Beep, beep. Yeah!
David Curtin on today's News Talk, TNT.
In 2016, the British public voted for Brexit, and this was supposed to be a wonderful thing that was going to give us freedom and prosperity. In my opinion, however, it has been sabotaged by the powers that be and the different wings of the Uniparty. Now, we also hear that the sovereignty of Gibraltar is under threat with a secret deal that may be going through between Lord Cameron, our unelected Foreign Secretary, and the powers that be in the EU. Now, to hear to discuss that on the show is Robert Ould from the Bruges Group, who fought valiantly for Brexit before the referendum and afterwards as well. Robert, welcome to the show.
Glad to be on the show, David.
Really good to have you. So what's going on with this deal that might concern Gibraltar and opening up its border to the EU in a way that it hasn't done before, that is going to cause problems for its own residents?
Well, Cameron really is a clone of Blair. And when Tony Blair was in power, they're proposing joint sovereignty with Spain, which was rejected in a referendum by the people of Gibraltar by 99.99% of the electorate. Mm. You must think that those who didn't agree to keeping Gibraltar British were actually just made mistakes on the ballot paper, which happens from time to time. Now, David Cameron is looking at opening up Gibraltar to Spain, keeping the border open with Spain. Well, that's something that the Gibraltarians would indeed want, but this is going to come at an exceptional cost that will threaten British sovereignty and indeed threaten the security and viability of Gibraltar. Now, Gibraltar was absolutely vital to Britain through the course of our history, most notably during the Second World War. It has an airfield, which is Gibraltar's lifeline to the rest of the world, along with its port. And the airfield, indeed, the airport, could indeed be handed back, handed over to Spain, surrendering key vital infrastructure to Spain. That is absolutely a betrayal. And Cameron, Blair clone, is just giving in to Spanish demands, rolling out the red carpet to them to march in and take British sovereign territory.
So this is essentially, if they do this, that there's a danger that is Gibraltar going to join the Schengen area? Is that sort of how it effectively is going to be, that then Spain or the EU will then have sovereignty over the UK naval bases there? That's one of the UK's biggest offshore naval bases around the world.
Yeah, Gibraltar will be gradually submerged into the EU, almost sort of like Northern Ireland has become. Mm. And although it would be British largely, although giving up perhaps the airport, perhaps not, would have to see how the negotiations pan out, but certainly on the table and something that's being considered, we would find that Gibraltar's gradually merged into the EU and be British in name only, just like David Cameron is Conservative in name only.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's certainly a good description of David Cameron. But I mean, someone in the Conservative Party should not even be considering this, because Gibraltar is British. You need to have a hard border between Gibraltar and Spain. People want to travel from one part to the other, then they can show their passport. There shouldn't be any problem. It seems to work as it is now. There should be no question of changing the status in any way, shape, or form. How on earth could he be considering this?
Absolutely. You know, we should really call out Spain. Of course, there was a blockade of Gibraltar carried out by General Franco. And really, we should be exposing Spanish bullying and just pointing out, are you going to behave like Franco? Is this what you really want? Is this how you're going to be treating a country that's another, potentially, or should be, in theory, an ally? Clearly, countries on the continent of Europe are clearly not our allies. I think we can see that by the way we've been treated in many years. It's one reason why we left the European Union in the first place, because countries like Spain, of course, also France and Germany, would be continually voting against British interests in the Council of Ministers. They are, we are not aligned with them. We don't have common outlook.
I know. Robert, I'm going to have to finish there. I'm going to have to finish there because we're coming up to the end of the show. Let's hope that we get some sense back here for Gibraltar and we don't have to see them go into the EU. This is today's News Talk, TNT.